How you doing, Jeff? With sin. I would have said, pretty good. I wouldn't hurt anyone. I live a pretty good life, I think. Compared to other people. You ask me that today. And I would have to argue with St. Paul, who said he was the worst of all sinners. Here stands the worst of all sinners. And my prayer is I shall enter heaven's gate still repenting. Because we all need to repent. And everybody falls short at the first hurdle. Whether we like it or not, we do. So let me share with you a little bit about my life so far. I can't fit it all in tonight, but just a little bit of what happened to me on the 17th of February 1975 especially. I'm a Cornishman, through and through, if you haven't heard the accent. A Penrhynian, up the Burgh. I grew up on Park and Gew Farm, which was an old farmhouse down behind Penryn Rugby Club, where there's now the industrial estate and of course, the university. Nothing left of it now. One of seven children, wonderful Christian mother. She had to wait for 31 years for my father to be converted, but it came. Went to the local schools. I was in the choir as a boy at St. Gluvius Church. Had a pretty good boy's voice. I used to sing all the solos. In fact, all my family loved to sing and still love, thankfully, to sing. When my voice broke, it was at the same time that I couldn't really relate the church of which I was a part of with the life at that time that I was living. So I left the church. I started to see girls, as you do. And, of course, it was the 60s. It was all about rock and roll. And I loved to sing. So we formed, friends and I, a band, which was called Jeff and the Climates. Sounds ridiculous now, doesn't it? Jeff and the Climates. And we used to sing and play all over Cornwall, many times at the Penryn Rugby Club, the Temperance Hall, Madeira Hotel, believe it or not, nothing left of that now. Many, many times over the years at the Princess Pavilion, the City Hall in Truro, all over Cornwall and in Plymouth, and loved it. Job-wise, my father was a marine engineer at Falmouth Docks, and being his son, he secured an apprenticeship for me, which wasn't for me. But there was one blessing. I was on day release to Falmouth Technical College, as it was then. And on my first day at Falmouth Technical College, I walked through the door, and there was this gorgeous, petite, fair-haired, beautifully tanned young lady called Judy Allen. People say, you know, love at first sight. It was love at first sight. Ba-boom, ba-boom. Took me 6 years before we got up the aisle, but next to Jesus, she is my greatest gift. I don't know, she stood by me over all these years. I have failed her in so many, many ways, as husbands do. Any nods here? I'm so thankful for her. And this year, God willing, we shall celebrate our 48th wedding anniversary. But despite being in love with Judy, I, at that time, life, what's it all about? It's about becoming famous. You know, if I was famous, I'd find the meaning and purpose of life. So off I went to Birmingham. I was just talking to a lady about Birmingham. Off I went to Birmingham, and I auditioned to be the lead vocalist in a very good professional band called The Defenders. And I secured the post and supported a lot of well-known bands, met a lot of interesting people. Remember Crossroads? I met all those from Crossroads, and you know, it was fun, but there were also so many broken, unhappy lives in that world, and there still are. My goodness, how we were reminded of that last year with all those who we lost in the kind of pop world and actors and so on. Anyway, I came home at Christmas and I saw Judy, and that was it. I couldn't go back. So we were engaged, and we were married. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to find life and its meaning in becoming famous. So it's got about becoming rich, having loads of money. So I became such a materialist. I got into selling. My first job that I did actually, I don't know if they're still going, was Clean Easy. And I did actually very well, particularly with citrus mist, if I remember. But then it was into insurance, and I did really, really well in insurance. We built a beautiful home at Plain Place and was doing very, very well. And then we moved down to this lovely village of Budok Water into a new bungalow, number 10 Treveran Park. We were blessed with two children, Cheryl and Michael. By then, I'd moved again, and I became a car salesman. Can you trust a car salesman? Well, I became a car salesman at what was then Taylor's Garage. Some of you may remember. It's now Trago Mills, of course. And I became their top salesman. I sold 365 cars one year. And again, I had to go back to Birmingham, believe it or not, to receive my gold award for being the top salesman. But there was still something missing in my life. Making money, doing some pretty shady deals. There's one person, I could tell you quite a few stories, but God knows all about them and I've confessed them. Particularly with one retired vicar who I got to meet in heaven. But we won't go into that. But I made a lot of money. You know, we had the holidays, we had the big fast cars, we had the extension on the bungalow, we had nightclubs and all, but there was something missing. There was a void in my life. Life, what's it all about? And then Judy noticed that our son, as mothers do, there was something not quite right. So he had tests at Falmouth Hospital and then to the old city hospital that was. And then eventually we were transferred to the wonderful Children's Hospital in Great Ormond Street in London. And when you enter Great Ormond Street, you enter a whole different world. So much love, so much care, but so many sick and dying and suffering children. But so much love in that place. And after some very intensive tests, we were told by the consultant that our Michael had a very rare child's cancer. He was 2.5 years old, disseminated neuroblastoma, of which there was no cure. And he had a maximum, they thought, of up to 6 months to live. Suddenly, everything that you got, everything that you do, means absolutely nothing at all. Nothing. Is there a God? I needed to know. Why my son? Why not me? Is there a heaven? Will I see him again? Those were the questions immediately in my mind when suddenly everything stops. And we went into the chapel at Great Ormond Street, and there was this massive tapestry on the wall which said, "Suffer little children to come unto me." And I, at that time, I couldn't understand what it meant. And then we wandered out into the streets, and we went into a church, and there was loads of people there, and a man was speaking, and I couldn't remember anything that was said. But at the door, I poured it out to him. It was actually Tom Houston, who was head of Bible Society at that time. And I told him, and he said to me, he said, "Jeff, you don't want to worry about him. You want to worry about yourselves." I saw him a number of years later and actually thanked him for what he said because it was so true. So we came back to Cornwall, and I needed to know. Seek and you'll find. So I got the Bible out, and it was actually Michael's Bible, which was given on his christening. We'd done all the right things. And I started to read the Bible. I started in Genesis. Wasn't particularly helpful back then, actually. And I tried to pray. And I literally had the Bible in one hand and whiskey in the other. Not excessively, but... And for 4 days and nights, I sought if there was a living God. And on the fourth night, it's about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm out in the kitchen. My Judy and my mother-in-law were there. And I'd reach Matthew chapter 18. I'd move to the New Testament. And I glanced, and on chapter 19, it said about suffer little children to come unto me. And I understood how precious children were. How Jesus loves children. And then I read chapter 18. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus took a little child and said, except ye be converted and become like little children, ye shall never inherit the kingdom of heaven. Suddenly it spoke to me, Jeff, you'll never get all the answers. If you could, God would be no bigger in your puny mind. It's all about a simple, childlike faith. And suddenly, there's an excitement rising in me. And I carried on reading. And everything was speaking to me then. And there was the story of the lost sheep. And the good shepherd left the 99 to go off to look for the lost sheep. And suddenly, I'm the lost sheep. He's looking for me. And then the joy when he brought him home. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know how important it is for children, sow the seeds. Every week, Jeffrey prays for the children that go out. The seeds are sown. My seeds were sown as a youngster. And I knew the lost son is in my head. Where is it? Where is it? And I turned the pages and there it was, Luke chapter 15. And I read it. And for the first time, I understood. I'd always seen God as a, you know, thou shalt not. Very stern and all this, the character of God. Suddenly I saw him as a loving, heavenly Father who let me go in his love, gave me free will, and off I'd gone. And this is speaking to me. And I carried on reading. And we read, don't we, in the story, the greatest story, short story ever told, that he's feeding, he's eating what the pigs are eating. And he comes to his senses. I'll go home and confess to my father. And he makes his way home. And there's the father. I see the father on the rooftop. Is he coming home today? And there he is, me, coming home. What do you read? He runs to the son, wraps his arms around him. My son who was lost is found. Kill the fatty calf, put a ring on his finger. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate. For God, suddenly it all made sense. For God so loved the world. God so loved Jeff, Michael, you, that he gave his one and only son, that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. I will see my son again. The one sure thing over these 42 years that is first and foremost in my mind is the best is yet to be. Heaven is coming, and life whizzes by so very, very quickly. My goodness me, doesn't it? Oh, it all made sense. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Do you know, it was just like the ceiling unzipped and out poured the reality of God's love for me. My family thought I'd flipped, but I'd found the meaning, the purpose of life, what it was all about. I went into my son's bedroom. He was sleeping. Remember, he's 2.5. And he opened his eyes and he looked at me, those velvet brown eyes. He was a beautiful boy. And he smiled knowingly. You got it, Dad. You got it. You know, a child. He used to sing two hymns. All things bright and beautiful. Because everything was brand new to me. Never did a tree look so beautiful. He gave us eyes to see with, lips that we might tell. And the other one he used to sing was Onward Christmas Soldiers. Yeah. Because it is a battle, isn't it? It's a battle. He never said it would be easy. And boy, have we found that. But I so thank God for it. So what do you do then? I'm full of new life, new living. Well, you got to ring the vicar, haven't you? So I rang up and Therese answered. And I said to her, I said, the Bible's spoken to me. I feel brand new. Can you tell the vicar? He said, well, he's out looking after his bees. So I said, well, can you tell him? Yeah, I'll tell him. Within a few minutes, the doorbell went. There was Canon Ram. Bless him. And he came in, and we spoke, and he prayed for me, and he prayed for Judy, and he prayed for Michael. That man was such a blessing to us. Well done, good and faithful servant. His reward's in heaven now. And so began, you know, new life, Bible study, prayer, worship, growing, day by day. The flesh was weak, but the spirit was strong. And it was agony watching this little boy and what this horrible disease did to him. But he upheld us. But the time came when we needed to pray. So many people had prayed for Michael. Maybe some of you did all those years ago and remember him in the paper. I don't know. There was an awful lot of prayer. And God does heal. We've seen some amazing, wonderful miracles over the years. He does heal. Of course, we must always pray for the sick. But you know, a very wise cleric said to me when I began my ministry, he said, Jeff, always remember, pray for the sick, yes. But you'll find healed souls in heaven, not healed bodies. It's the souls that matter. People giving their lives to Jesus, coming to know and love him and serve him. That's the priority, leading people to Jesus. To know what the meaning of life is really all about. And so I prayed for a sign because he was so poorly. And I was out in the kitchen. And it was a beautiful day. Not a cloud in the sky. And I'm reading. I've gone back to the Old Testament. And I read about Noah. And I read about the rainbow. I was so ignorant. That's how we got a rainbow. To Judy. And she said, look out. And we want a cloud in the sky. She said, look, Jeff. And there, the bottom of her garden was this little rainbow. Rainbow's always been precious to ever since. That evening, our little boy went to heaven in my arms. And I looked into his velvet eyes again. I said, Michael, I will spend the rest of my life, seeking with his help to lead people to Jesus and to know the difference that he can make. So we had the service at Budok Church. He was buried in the churchyard. And on his headstone are the words from Isaiah, a child shall lead them, because he led me to Jesus. A child shall lead them into new life and new living. Then came my call to the ministry. I trained in Nottingham. I didn't come back to Cornwall first off. I was actually ordained in Canterbury Cathedral, the mother church, by Archbishop Runcie, who was a tremendous blessing to me. I then came back to be vicar at Loswithiel and Llanhidrock, and then was invited back to the Canterbury Diocese, where I served for the last 29 years. And now I've retired from full-time ministry as Jeffrey, but not from telling people about Jesus. We never retire from that. We take every opportunity. And it's lovely to be home. And it's lovely to be back in Budok Water. He's brought us home. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Life, what's it all about? What's its meaning? What's its purpose? It's about knowing Jesus. Do you know him tonight? You know, the Bible tells us, look and live. It's as simple as that. We make it so complicated. Look and live. Look to Jesus. I have come that you might have life and have it in all its abundance, in the good times and in the tough times. I will be with you. He is the meaning and the purpose of life. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If anybody tonight, I mean, there are many here, Nick here, and lots of people, but anybody tonight who doesn't know Jesus, I would be more than happy to introduce him to you. I'm sat right over there. But I'm so thankful to the Lord for the opportunity to tell you a little bit about my story so far. so far. God bless you.